Hey, KU fans, welcome back to the KU Sports Hour here at KUSports.com. I'm Matt Tate, and I'm back for another episode of Meeting Bill Self. Today we've got Myron Metcalf of ESPN joining us, covers college basketball and other things on a national perspective, but has been around the KU program and Coach Self plenty. And hopefully today he's going to take us through his first impressions and first meeting with Bill Self. Myron, thanks for joining us on this podcast. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. You know, I'm quarantining, binging my shows, trying to act like I'm a sports writer still. You know how it is.
I do. Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that you're, you know, finding things to do anyway, and that's why I wanted to get you involved on this because, you know, you've got great insight, great perspective, and also a good sense of humor. So let's start there, man. Do you remember your first meeting with Bill Self? Whenever it was, if you can recall exact details, we'll take it. But if you just know general stuff, that's fine too. But do you remember one?
Yeah, I think so. I had like my first, I would say, general meeting, and then I would say like sort of a one-on-one. And they're about a year apart. I think I just got an ESPN for the 2011-2012 season. They sent me to the 2012 Final Four.
That's where I met you, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. So, you know, that was a really cool event, man. Like, New Orleans.
Terrific.
You know, I mean, I've been in New Orleans, man, but that was like a whole different vibe. You had Kentucky, Kansas, Louisville, and Ohio State fan bases.
Right.
All on Bourbon Street. It was just like, man, just crazy. You know, I don't know how else to describe it.
Well, and that's it. I mean, we've all been, you know, covering Final Fours and stuff since then, but never quite one like that. I don't think, anyway.
No. I mean, the fan bases, the fans were. I mean, you can't let Kansas and Kentucky fans stay out to 5 o'clock in the morning and then go back out at 8 o'clock in the morning. Like, you know, like New Orleans is one of those places we can't do the Final Four there every year. You just can't do it. You got to do it once every maybe five or six, but. You had all these personalities down there, too. I mean, you had Rick Pitino. You right. had Cal. You had Thad Matta when he was still at Ohio State. And then you had Bill. So I think the build-up to it was sort of like just the personality was great for guys like us, you know, in terms of just every press conference, there was a story.
Absolutely.
You know, because every time those guys talked, they said something newsworthy, man, you know, and it was like they were trying to not outdo one another, but you could just tell that they were ready for that stage. I think just being a part of Bill's pregame media stuff, you know, you notice the charisma, which is easy to see why Bill Self has people who love him and are loyal to him and will never speak against him, and it's easy to see why there are haters who, like, don't believe anything about him because he has a certain charisma that you either think is real or it's fake. I think it's real. You know, I've been around Bill a lot.
Yeah.
And I think he just is that. You know, he just has a certain way under pressure, which is why he's a guy who's in the Hall of Fame and won national championships and all that good stuff. But I think that was the thing. Cal was sort of the promoter at the event. You know, Cal being Cal of Kentucky, getting ready to win his first national championship. Rick is the old veteran, you know, who's kind of trying to outdo Cal, trying to ignore that storyline, Louisville, Kentucky. Thad was maybe the one who didn't fit from a personality standpoint, but Bill clearly, I felt, kind of like seized the moment. Had that good Thomas Robinson-led team, Tyshawn Taylor, Elijah Johnson, and I just thought he kind of said all the right things, and that was a really good Final Four for the sport, I think.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't just good for Kansas or Bill Self or Kentucky or Louisville. It was good for the sport, man. Like, the sport, it felt like a party, man, to me. Did it feel that way to you?
Perfect way to put it. Yes, sir. I mean, it was unbelievable, all the reasons you just mentioned. I wonder, too, you said that was your first year at ESPN, right?
Yeah.
So obviously you were aware of who Bill Self was and Kansas and the whole thing. Did you have, before you got down there, did you have preconceived ideas about, you know, who he was or what you were going to encounter when you got around him?
No, I mean, I knew he, you know, you see interviews and stuff, so I figured he had, there was a lot of personality there, clearly.
Right.
But I think you hear him talk and you kind of get why he ends up being the leader of a program like Kansas, you know, why he's one of the three or four coaches that everybody talks about. I got a friend, man, who's got a big crush on him. One of my homegirls is like, like that was always her thing. He's like, I actually believe she went to the Final Four and she wanted me to try to introduce her to Bill Self.
Tough line. That's like, a tough line.
Yo, it ain't gonna happen. Nope. I don't know what you want me to do. But no, I knew he was, you know, a guy. You have to be built a certain way to deal with that kind of spotlight. I mean, we've seen other coaches go to like a Final Four, and you know this, man. You get there and you're like, oh man, this dude ain't ready.
Right.
You know, like I don't think he understands what's coming. I don't know if he can handle the pressure. Like, you can see certain coaches, and we've had moments with coaches where you're like, yeah, this is gonna be tough for him.
Right.
But Bill never seemed like that. Bill always seemed like he was just cool, you know, like he was cool and ready for whatever came his way, and wasn't afraid of the stakes.
Yeah, I think that's interesting because he remains, and you mentioned the whether it's real or not, whether it's an act or genuine, all that. I mean, I think you're right. I think it is genuine. I think it's him, and I've had other people in this series talk about his humility, you know, and how he has remained humble from his days back, you know, as an assistant at Oklahoma State all the way up through now. And so I think that's a big part of it. I think that allows him to be comfortable on those stages and in those moments because he's comfortable in his own skin and he knows who he is and what he is. And you know, I like anybody with any kind of ego, we all have them, and there's no doubt that he cares what people think about him to a certain extent, but he just doesn't project that. And I think that's probably kind of what you're talking about. You mentioned, the one-on-one then. So set the stage for us there. Obviously you were around him in New Orleans, but one-on-one's a different deal. And actually, you know, him putting your name with your face and time, quality time spent in front of each other, things like that. When was that? And what do you remember about it?
So this was a year later, right? And this is, Iowa State is playing Kansas in Ames, Iowa. That's still one of the craziest buildings in college basketball. I don't know if people know that, but like
Big 12, man. Big 12,
oh, man.
Yeah,
Big 12. Yeah, you go to Ames, Iowa, man. Like those fans, and this is like under Hoiberg. You know, I mean, those fans are just wild, man. And they were pretty good that year. And obviously, they're waiting for a moment like this. And they're beating Kansas, and they're going to win the game. Clearly, they're going to win the game. Like, there's no way for Kansas to come back. And then Kansas comes back. and then, you know, this is Ames, Iowa. I think it's like February 2013. They have that crazy comeback. It goes to overtime. And then Elijah Johnson has the crazy dunk at the end of the game that, if you were watching the broadcast, I was actually there, but people watched the broadcast, you know, you see Fred Hoiberg's son is like crying in the stands. I mean, it was like a whole thing. People were crying,
right?
You know, not
right.
Just kids, like adults were crying in a game that wasn't like elimination. It wasn't tournament. It was a regular season game. So they win. Elijah Johnson has that dunk. And then that fan runs down. There's a fan who runs down. I think it was like some booster.
Yeah,
and
Melvin,
he's trying to get to.
He's a legend around here. People still remember him.
So I'm there. So I'm walking to the locker room when he runs down. Like, I'm right there. So he's trying to get Bill Self. He's going toward Elijah Johnson. And I'll never forget what Elijah Johnson said, man. Elijah Johnson, I was like, Elijah, man. That was crazy because I ran back with Kansas, and they're like at the bus. So I'm just talking to everybody outside the bus. And, like, Elijah, man, those dudes, those fans wanted to come at you, man. Elijah looks at me, looks me up and down. He goes, listen, bro, I'm from Gary, Indiana. And he walks away. And that was it. That was it. Like, that was his whole exchange. It was like, how could you ever question that I would be concerned about some fans in the stands considering how I grew up? I promise you he said that.
Wow.
But then I had Bill. Then I'm just sitting there with Bill. Like, Bill, some dude just tried to attack you, you know, like, this is crazy. Fans are crying. And Bill is just cool. It was as if Bill had just played a non-conference game against Alcorn State or something.
Right.
Like, it was like he didn't understand or care about the moment, you know? And I think, again, you go back to that, like, love-hate thing. And a lot of people love Bill Self. I'm not saying that. But from outside, he obviously has haters. is moments like that where you're like, you want a dude to break in that moment. I think a lot of fans, you want him to kind of, like, you know, give something up or maybe say, hey, my guy shouldn't have done that. They shouldn't have dunked late like that in the game. And he did none of that, man. Like, he was cool, happy with the win, didn't care that some guy had come at him, man. And we were just sitting outside the bus.
Yeah, what's the post-game meal? That was his biggest question,
it was,
right?
It was crazy. And like, you don't know, because I literally just run back with Kansas. Like, you don't know if it's over. Like, you don't know if fans are coming back. You don't know, like, it was chaos, man. I mean, that was, like, one of the more chaotic endings of a game, man. But just sitting there talking to Bill outside the bus, and Bill was, he was Bill, man.
Yeah,
He didn't seem rattled at all. After one of the craziest finishes I'd ever seen.
No doubt. Well, that's two pretty good introductions, man. That's a Final Four stage and the weather wax moment. I mean, you're kind of on a short list there of people who have been there like that. What have you seen? Okay, so that was 2013. Here we are 7 years later. What have you seen since then? I mean, you know, again, a lot of people kind of praise the man for continuing to be true to himself, who he is. He's not, you know, Larry Brown told me he hasn't changed since I've known him as a person. You know, that's going back some years. So what have you seen from him in the last 7 years in terms of how it stacks up against what your first impressions were there?
So I guess I have to kind of tell you first, like, my philosophy on sources and coaches. And I know a lot of coaches in college basketball. I think I've encountered, you know, most of the high profile coaches. Right. I could probably call most of them, right? I'm not, like, bragging about that. But I don't consider any of these guys my friends. Like, I'm really tough on, like, I'm going to hold that line because I want to be able to write about you and talk about you on TV and the radio when your team wins a national championship. I want to also be able to do the same thing if some scandal happens or something. Like, I got to be in a position to do both. So,
absolutely, yeah.
I think with Bill, based on that relationship, he's been one of the more straightforward guys I've dealt with over time. I mean, I can talk to Bill, I can call him, talk about basketball stuff. You know, and everybody's not that. I mean, trust me, everybody's not accessible like Bill is. And I think you've seen who he is a lot through this NCAA drama. I mean, let's be honest. Like, there are a whole lot of coaches who haven't said a word amid their particular situations. And I was down there in Kansas City when the news first broke about the notice of allegations, and there were probably, I mean, you were there, what were there, 40 of us, 30 of us around him?
You know what I mean? And for how long? 45 minutes straight, right? I mean.
And we're sitting there, and he's facing question after question after question after question, and he didn't bend. I mean, and I think he came out of that saying, you know, whatever you believe about that situation, he at least gave his fans something to root for and said, look, we're motivated. I'm not worried about it. I talked to Bill 2 weeks ago, actually. And I said, you know what, man, like, what was that like? Okay, now the season's over. They canceled the tournament. You know, how much did you think about it? And he said, you know what, man, I thought about that stuff every day, you know? Right. And he kind of admitted, like, yeah, man, I had to be cool, but the reality is I know what I'm facing, you know? And I know what all this could mean. And you could tell that he had put on a good face for probably part of that season as he moved things forward. But I think the one thing with him versus a lot of other coaches who've had difficult situations is Bill hasn't run from it. There are coaches who have run from situations and Bill hasn't. And I respect him on that level, knowing that he's a guy who has called press conferences, been willing to take questions, you know, not lashed out at a reporter for asking him a certain question, not just closed off all press conferences or said, hey, look, no questions about X, Y, and Z. I mean, you've been there too. I've been with coaches who told me, if you ask me a question about X, I'm leaving.
Right.
I've been at press conferences where I thought a coach was going to punch me.
Right.
Because I asked a question about that thing, and then he was like, ready to come at me, right? And Bill hasn't done that, man. So I would say, I don't know what else to take from him other than what I've seen. And no matter what the ultimate outcome is, he hasn't run from, you know, the success, and he also hasn't run from the drama. And I'm not sure what else you can do in that position to be genuine other than that.
Yeah.
Whatever you believe about him.
That's well said. Very, very well said. Hey, That's great stuff about the meeting Bill Self part. While I still have you a couple more minutes, if you don't mind, we got to talk about the season real quick. Number one, I want to know where you thought they would end up if the tournament played out. And number two, I know you do this right around now usually, so you're probably a little ahead. But where do you have them ranked next year going into another season?
Yeah, I tweeted this. I think if this were college football in the 90s, they'd be the national champions, right? I still think.
Right.
I don't see a team that beats them. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. I think you go and beat Baylor the way that they did. I thought Baylor would have been a really tough matchup for them, but no one else is like Baylor, right? That they would have seen in the NCAA tournament. So, like, who stops Dotson and Azubuike?
Right.
You know, and then you can basically say, hey, Marcus Garrett, for the next 40 minutes, I want you to lock up their best player. You know, I don't know who has that. So I thought they would have won the national championship. I thought they would have been the last team standing for sure. I think they would have been the best team in America. I mean, you lose Azubuike and Dotson for the second part of the question. I think McCormick is ready to maybe to take that next jump. He's learned from one of the best in Azubuike. I think Garrett comes in as a preseason All-American, potentially. I mean, considering what he did as National Player of the Year. So they're a top 10 team. I mean, we still got to see some final decisions made here, but I still think they're a top 10 team. If some crazy thing happens, like Dotson coming back, I mean, it's not going to, I don't think. But,
no, yeah, right.
You know, that would have been crazy, but I think they're still a top 10 team, man. But so many things it seems like could happen between now and then. And I think Kansas will get, some, you know, another grad transfer that could come transfer in the next couple of weeks. And then here's the other thing. If they grant that one-time exemption rule, when does that become real? Like, is that something that's implemented next season?
Right.
Because if that's the case, that's going to change everything. If people know they can play right away. So, but top 10 team, Kansas would have won the national championship.
Fair enough. There's no reason not to end it there. I'm sure you've got a lot of new followers and new Kansas fans that love you right there after those two things. Although, you know, they're
going to hate me though at some point. Yeah, they'll turn on me at some point. It goes back and forth. It's hot and cold.
Okay, well, good. Well, good. Well, Myron, man, thanks for your time. And yeah, that was it. That was another episode of Meeting Bill Self here at the KU Sports Hour. We'll talk to you guys again real soon on another episode. Take care.